Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you feel it? It doesn't really feel like it when you look outside the windows, but we're getting closer and closer to Easter. Eventually, the snow's going to have to leave, right? We are getting closer to Easter and closer, thus, to the beginning of Lent. In fact, it's just next week. Our readings are turning more and more towards the themes of Lent, of persecution and opposition, of life as God's people in a world that opposes him. Next week, we will celebrate the Transfiguration on Sunday, and almost immediately, our focus shifts to Lent with Ash Wednesday as we begin that way to the cross. Now, we're not quite there yet, but it is getting close, as Jesus, in our gospel reading today, turns our attention to the way in which we are to live in this world and how Christians are to treat those around them. And as we ponder on Jesus' words in Luke chapter 6, I encourage you to consider this question. How do we live up to Jesus' command? And so as we look in here, Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Christians are to hear and pay attention to Jesus' words. That seems like a given. If we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if we believe that God's word is trustworthy and true, then you'd think we ought to keep and read his word in our daily lives, to conform our lives to the way that Jesus tells us to live. Christians, after all, seek to understand what Jesus says and what God is telling us in the Bible. And so when Jesus says to love your enemies, we should take that seriously. Love your enemies. Love is a pretty important concept, a pretty important facet of what it means to be a believer. Over and over in Scripture, especially in the Gospels and in the letters of John, we see over and over this call to show love. God is love. The greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Over and over, God and love go together. However, we kind of prefer to apply this principle to the people that we already love and care about. After all, it is easy to show love to your family and friends, the people that you live with and see and like on a daily basis. It is easy to show love and be nice to those who are already being nice to you. And yet, Jesus says that isn't enough. It's not enough to just love those who love us, to do good to those who already do good to us. After all, everyone does that. If you walk down the street, most people are already being nice to those who are nice to them. Most people are already loving those who are their friends and family. Jesus, however, says that we need to love our enemies. That is not an easy thing that Jesus is telling us to do. These verses challenge us to act in a way that is entirely contrary to human nature, even. When someone hates you, it is so much easier to give as good as you get, it is far harder to show love. When a neighbor's dog is constantly running into your yard to use the bathroom and right before you mow the lawn, too, don't you just want to get rid of the little monster? When your coworker takes your lunch instead of bringing her own, don't you want to get even, maybe put a little ghost pepper in there? If someone hits me, I'm pretty sure I'm not alone that everyone in here would at least think about swinging back. Now, you may never act on any of these impulses, but that impulse is still there. How often, so Jesus says, love your enemies, but ultimately, so often do we fail to obey this command in thought, in word, and in deed. So then, what does it mean for me if I fail to obey this command? If I don't obey Jesus' words, if I don't show love to my neighbor even when my neighbor is my enemy? Well, what does it mean when I don't obey anything that Jesus commands? All of God's word is scripture. All of God's word is important for us to follow. Disobedience to God is a sin, regardless, flat out. Everything is a sin if we are failing to obey God. And the consequences of all sin, this one included, is temporal death and eternal damnation. We can expect nothing less as a consequence of our sins. This is just one example of that sin. And so, what are we to do? Well, remember, Jesus does not command us to do anything that he hasn't already done and accomplished for us. Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Jesus did show love to his enemies by entering into a sin-darkened world, by taking on human flesh and coming into a world that is full of sin. Jesus did show love by dying for the ungodly. When Jesus was placed on the cross, he prayed for his enemies, for those who were executing him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who were Jesus' enemies at this point that he was dying for, that he was showing love to? You and me. All of us were God's enemies. The enemies of God are sinners. In Romans chapter 5, Paul says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. We were enemies, and Christ died for us. You and I, we were opposed to God, living contrary to his will, rejecting his truth, failing to show love to our enemies, and in so doing, we were enemies of God, and he died for us. Jesus says, to one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Jesus did not turn aside from those who struck him. He knew everything that was going to happen to him, every single step of that way to the cross, which we are going to follow in the coming weeks and months. He knew all of it, and he walked it regardless. When he was arrested and charged falsely, he did not attempt to defend himself from those charges. When he was beaten, he did not make any complaints. When they took away his clothing and cast lots for it, he did not protest. Why did he do all of this? Because he loved you. Because at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, for you. We cannot love our enemies perfectly, but Jesus loved us perfectly when we were his enemies. We feel hatred and anger. We do not pray as we ought for those who hurt us, but Jesus takes away our guilt and punishment and redeems us to be his people. And so, forgiven and redeemed by the death of Jesus Christ, we return to his word, strengthened to hear and pay attention and obey them. And so as God's chosen and redeemed people, he urges us to do for others not just what we wish they would do for us, but what he has done for us. We are not loving our enemies or doing good for them or praying for them simply because we are strengthened to do it by his death on the cross because of that motivation of Christ. We love because he first loved us. By the Holy Spirit living in us, by the body and blood of Jesus Christ, which strengthens our faith, forgives our sins, encourages us to holy living, we seek to be and live as those beloved people of God that he has already declared us to be. And so let's look back at verses 27 through 29 of our gospel reading, but this time with those fresh eyes. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. With the overflowing love of Jesus running through your veins, how can we help but let that love flow out of us to those around us, even when they are acting unlovable? After all, we were unlovable first, but God loved us. He goes on, bless those who curse you. With the great blessings of God echoing in your ears, what more is there for us to do but to share those blessings, to speak them to those around us who need to hear them? Pray for those who abuse you. Jesus commands us to pray for all people, and the best prayer we can offer often is twofold: praying for forgiveness, praying for God to work in the heart. And I'd say both of those are good prayers towards those who abuse us. Now, this doesn't mean that you need to accept abuse, only to pray for the one doing it. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. In Deuteronomy 32, God declares, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay." Now, this doesn't mean that if you are being abused, if you are suffering violence, then Jesus is saying to just sit there and accept it from a friend or family member. Such actions are not what God has in mind here. And if that is affecting you, then please do come and talk to me after church, not now. But the focus here is not on domestic abuse or that kind of thing, but on the religious persecution or mistreatment by those in authority, as especially Jesus suffered at the hands of the religious leaders. Think of Jesus being arrested and imprisoned and condemned as an example. And so from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. As God's people, looking forward to an inheritance in heaven that will never fade, we have no need to cling to the things of this life if they will help our neighbor. Now, this isn't to say that we are always going to be so loving, always so forgiving, always so blessing. We do still slip up and sin. We do still get angry. We do still curse our enemies. Just try driving in rush hour traffic. But where we fall short, God does not. So to get back to my question at the beginning, how do we live up to Jesus' command? On the one hand, we do not. We fail. We fall short. We are imperfect followers of a perfect Savior. But on the other hand, we live up to Jesus' command by following where he leads, by struggling against the sins from which he has already redeemed us, by seeking, by means of his forgiveness and strength, to do better in that struggle against sin, by showing to our enemies that same love and forgiveness that he has already shown to us when we were his enemies, by praying as he prayed. We cannot be perfect as he is perfect, not by our own actions. We cannot love as he has loved us, not perfectly. But his love flows out of us. He is perfect, and his perfection becomes ours. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as his people, unto life everlasting. Amen.